Hello there, Sam with you for another edition of the Water Cooler on Wagga's Life FM podcast. Don't forget to like the show on Facebook. You can go to facebook.com/LifeFM Water Cooler or on Twitter. You can follow us at Yo Water Cooler. Would love for you to like us, follow us, and keep in touch because we've got some really exciting interviews on the way across the next month for Christmas. A whole lot of Christmas albums are coming up and we're going to be interviewing some bands about that. But I want to tell you now about the podcast we have awaiting you, whatever time. I was about to say this evening, but who knows what time you're listening. Robbie C from the Robbie C Band is the chat you're going to hear. Robbie's from Texas in the United States. He's going to tell you a bit about that as well. But he has been producing music for a while and now has released his first of three EPs of Psalms. Yes, the Psalms EP Volume 1 came out earlier this year, offered up for free. And you can buy it now off iTunes. In fact, do that. If you want to hear more of this, as Robbie talks about it, more of these songs, go to iTunes and get it for yourself. But across the next while, we had a really extensive chat, actually. You're going to hear more about these psalms as Robbie explains them to you. So here we go. Here's my chat with Robbie C from the Robbie C Band. All right. Where in the world do we find you today, Robbie?
Well, I'm in my home city, Houston, Texas. So I'm home for a little bit this week before we head back out.
What is Houston, Texas home to? Give us an idea of what it's like living in Texas.
Yeah, well, you know, all the stereotypes are probably pretty true, I think. You know, maybe not completely, but there's a lot of cowboys. And but it's a huge city. It's actually, a lot of people don't know this, but it's the most diverse city in the U.S. And so when you come to Houston, people are usually surprised just how diverse it is. There's just people from all over the world, and that's represented in the food and the culture. It's an awesome city to visit. It gets a bad rap because the weather in the summertime, you know, so our summertime here, June through August or mid-September, it's crazy humid and crazy hot. So a lot of people will gripe about Houston for those two reasons, but if you can make it through the summer, It's a pretty lovely place to be.
Yeah, nice. Well, it seems like 2013's been a big year for you. Has it been a good year?
It's been a great year. Yeah, it really has. It's been a great year. I'll just tell you quickly. I led worship here at a church called Ecclesia Church, and that was for almost 13 years, just about 13 years. And this has been the first year that I've just taken off, and instead of, you know, working at a church and leading worship and then also traveling. So it kind of made for a pretty crazy, hectic season. This is the first year that I haven't done that. I've just gone to church, you know what I mean? And I know that seems pretty simple, but it's been pretty amazing for my wife and I. We have a house full of kids, you know, and it's just been a really great year. And that's been a big part of it.
Wonderful. Well, earlier this year, you released Volume 1 of your Psalms EPs, and there's a few more on the way. Why did you decide to record EPs of Psalms?
Well, you know, first and foremost, I really was passionate about singing the Psalms. That's something I'd never done. I talked about doing that. And then we decided to do them in increments, to do them in a few segments, to maybe put five or six out at a time. And to me, honestly, that just seemed like a digestible amount. Do you know what I mean? So instead of throwing like 12 or 15 psalms at one time, we could kind of focus in a little bit and do five or six together and then spread it out. So hopefully people, once they catch the vision for what we're doing and why we were doing this, that they might come back and grab volume 2 and 3. And then ultimately, you know, my hope is that it's pretty simple. One, that people enjoy the music, right? So if I'm a songwriter, that's a pretty basic goal, you know? But then two, that you and I might learn the Psalms together, that would be something that as we're singing these words, that they begin to take root in our hearts, and that scripture starts to come alive in ways that maybe it hasn't in the past. So those are kind of the two goals, if you will, for the series.
Yeah, and it seems like it's a bit of a change of direction for you as a band, because, you know, you've done the Christian rock pop sounds before, but did you feel any risk in taking this new approach of just focusing on these psalms?
You know, Not really. I think what's fun about music is that you get to kind of go with, I don't want to say go with your gut, because that's kind of an expression we'd say a lot here, but even more than that, go with what's in your heart. Like, what are you really feeling called to do? And that's something, even as I have little kids in my house, I have four kids, by the way. Mm-hmm. That's something I'm trying to teach them, that, you know, God has put something deep within you, and it's not going to be the same as mom or dad. Your passions and your desires and your talents are going to be different than ours. And I want them to learn to listen to God, to listen to the things that he's instilled in them. I've got to live that out. And so music is, it can take you 100 different places. And I just felt like, very clearly, that this is what we're supposed to do. And I've loved every minute of it. I'll just tell you real quickly. For me, it's awakened a desire to read the Psalms. And that seems somewhat obvious, but honestly, when I first set out to do this, I wasn't sure that I was passionate about singing them. Mm-hmm. And I was passionate about writing new music for these Psalms. But I didn't realize how passionate I would be about just really learning how the Psalms came together, and how 150 Psalms got put together, and who wrote them, and what are the stories behind the seasons that these men were going through when they wrote them. And so that's been really cool, man. I didn't foresee that happening, and it's been really powerful for me just on a personal level.
Mm. Yeah. We're listening to Volume 1 in full on the show today. So I want to ask you about each of the tracks before we play them. It opens with Psalm 96. Why did you decide to open the EP with this psalm?
Well, you know, and we're singing the final several verses of Psalm 96. And it's a powerful, it's a pretty powerful expression. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy. It seemed, honestly, when I was thinking about this psalm, it reminded me of spring. And so I don't know what spring is like for you guys, but we don't have a really intense winter here, you know, but we have enough winter where spring shows up and there's new life, and my trees in my backyard, they start to grow new leaves, and my grass starts to get green, and this psalm, and specifically that group of verses in Psalm 96, it felt like spring to me. You know what I mean? And I don't know if that's weird to think of songs and seasons, but that felt right to me. And it also felt right to start this whole EP with that, because ultimately you're going to find a lot of different things in the Psalms. You're going to find sorrow. You're going to find joy. You're going to find doubt. You're going to find fear. You're going to find men begging God to rescue them. But ultimately, the Psalms, at the core of them, I think, is praise, you know. And this psalm is a praise psalm. And so it felt right to start this EP with that psalm, Psalm 96. And should all the trees of the forest
sing for joy before the Lord? Robbie C. Band have been making music for quite some time. But could you tell us very briefly how you got into the Christian music scene?
Yeah, we are getting old, so we've been making music for quite some time.
I didn't mean that when I said that.
No, it's true. You know, I came to faith as a child. I grew up in the church, but one of the things that I wrestled with was faith and music, and faith and art, and how those two things would either collide or would, you know, actually take hold and become one. Does that make sense? So
yeah.
I didn't really understand. I felt a calling to be a musician and artist, and I also felt a deep sense of calling as it pertained to my faith. And as a teenager and through my college years, I began to see what art and music, what it really looks like when it comes alive in the context of our faith, and then specifically in the context of the church. So when we say worship music, what is that? What is worship music? Well, to me, it's pretty simple. I mean, it's a response to God, and that can be done individually, but it can also be done and should be done collectively. And so I don't know, how did I end up in Christian music? That I kind of wrestled with those things for several years, thinking, could I really do this, like, in the context of faith and church? I mean, is this, or should I go, you know, should I pursue something else, right? Should I be doing something else, or could this actually be, could all this be wrapped up together and it give glory to God, you know? And that's how. I didn't have an epiphany. I didn't have a moment in time where I just went, yeah, this is what I'm going to do and this is how I'm going to do it. It felt like years of trying to, like, wrestle with that. I always describe that, especially for young musicians and young worship leaders, as an intersection. And, you know, I don't know about what it's like there, but we have a lot of these, traffic circles, you know? So instead of the light, you got these circles and you got four or five different, roads that hit all at once, and there's a circle in the middle, and you're just, everybody. And to me, that's kind of what it feels like when art and when faith, and then especially this whole idea of making a living doing these things, those kind of all hit the same traffic circle. You know what I mean? And I've always just asked God, would you help me make sense of this? Because there's really no, there's no roadmap specifically for that, you know? But also I feel really honored and privileged to be in the middle of that, to be cruising around that traffic circle, trying to go, how does this all play? Because ultimately I want to make great art. I want people to love the music. And then because of my faith, I want to give glory to God, and I want us to respond together, giving glory to Him and not to us. And so I know that's a long answer, but that's years of wrestling through that. Somehow I ended up here.
Now, what's it like writing music to sounds, which obviously were written as songs, but you don't have a musical arrangement? What's it like to put a melody and musical arrangement to a psalm?
Yeah, well, it's exciting, and it's, I take that seriously. I mean, you know, when I'm writing any other type of song, I'm just, you know, I can kind of make it up. You know what I mean? I can kind of sing what I want to sing and play it how I want to play it. And when you start diving into the psalms, you realize that there's some pretty intense history behind each of these psalms. And so I'll give you an example. So a couple of the psalms that I'm working on currently for volume 2, I hope are going to be from the psalms of ascent, or the songs of ascension, depending on what translation. That's Psalm 120 to 134. That didn't mean that much to me growing up. I didn't really understand how those psalms got put together, what they were used for. Honestly, I didn't really pay much attention to it. Once you start realizing that these are songs sung aloud by thousands of people as they marched upward towards Jerusalem, and they would do that once a year for the feast, for Passover, and they would march together. And so they wanted psalms or songs that they could sing together that would express their heart's desire. Now, when I start reading that, understanding that, and then I go try to put music to it, that's a totally different context for me than just, oh, I'll just write something and it'll hopefully be all right. You know what I mean? And so the responsibility. So, you know, when you ask, like, what's it like? I love it, but I tend to think it's a big responsibility, even if it's not some like hugely like, you know, popular song, you know what I mean? If we record it and, you know, a few of you guys listen to it and appreciate it, I take it pretty seriously. Just trying to, respect what's in scripture and the context and the history behind each of the psalm.
We're about to hear Psalm 62, which is a beautiful psalm written by David under pressure. What can you tell us about this one?
Yeah, well, 62 is a really powerful psalm, one of my favorite psalms. And I love how several times in the psalm, David goes back to the reminder that we are to wait on God in silence. And, you know, it was almost ironic to me that I was singing that in the absence of silence. Obviously, you know, I'm making noise, but to me, it's a powerful thing to sing. And we tried to arrange this song in a way that gave the listener and gave the worshiper a few moments of pause And so if you'll notice in this psalm, it's a fairly long track, maybe 6 minutes or over 6 minutes. I feel like it's two segments. It's the bulk of the passage. For God alone, O my soul, rest and wait in him and wait in silence. We give you that. We're going to sing that a bunch. But then the second half, there is some pause and some silence. And then it begins to build up into the refrain of this psalm, which is God is a refuge. God is a refuge for us. He is a refuge. And to me, honestly, this is probably, you know, if not my favorite, one of my favorite ones on this volume one. For that reason, it's a powerful psalm, and we tried to do it justice.
Now, you gave away the volume we're hearing today for free. Why did you decide to do that?
We did that really for one reason, and that is to introduce people to this concept of singing the psalms. I'm not the first one to ever do that, obviously, but for my fans and my audience, it's something that we had not done yet. And so I wanted to obviously, we launched a Kickstarter program. So if people aren't familiar with that, it's basically just a way for fans and a group of people to help fund the record. And I didn't want to ask people to be a part of the volume two and volume three without them having any idea of how it was going to take shape and what it was going to be like. And so you're singing scripture. Well, what does that mean? Are you singing the whole psalm? Are you singing part of it? How are you singing? Are you repeating anything? Is it something we would actually want to hear? You know what I mean? Mm. And so that was the reason I wanted to say, hey, look, this is our vision. And if this rings true with you, if you want to support this, man, we would be honored to have you as a part of volume two and volume three. And if not, if maybe, you know, again, this is subjective, right? So what we do as an art form is subjective. Not everybody's going to love it. Some people just go, I like it, but I'd love to hear your old stuff. I can just go, man, that's totally great. I respect that. But I did want to give people an idea for free. Hey, this is what we're going to do for the next year. Because this will take us up to next June of 2014. We'll be in the Psalms before we release any other music. And so that's why I wanted to say this is what we're up to.
What was it like seeing fans of the band back that project? Was it a great thing to see people getting involved in that?
It is. It's amazing. I mean, and you know, we could probably have a longer conversation about where music stands and where the business of music is currently. But the reality is people don't buy music like they used to buy music. That's something you and I both know. And so what tends to happen for artists like myself is you really have one very valuable connection remaining with a group of people, and that's a sense of community. And so, you know, most artists are not going to get rich off recording music anymore. And so I think that the plus side of that is that artists now have an intense connection with they're more than fans, right? These are friends. I always say friends because these are people that want to invest their time and energy and resource into the music that you're creating. That's an awesome thing. Kickstarter, by the way, I assume most people listening, or watching are familiar with that, but if not, it's just an amazing website. It just allows people, you know what? I backed an album this morning on Kickstarter of, a lady named Ellie Holcomb in Nashville, Tennessee, who I think is just amazing. And I saw her Kickstarter. I thought, I want to be a part of her making that record, right? And of course, you know, you can sign up and say, I want to get the CD, or you can give a little more, and you can get like a t-shirt. And so my wife was standing there next to me, and she's like, I love that t-shirt. I want that t-shirt. So I'll get Ellie Holcomb's record, and then she'll get the t-shirt. But we did the same thing. And that was really cool is people can just say, hey, I've got a dollar. We literally had a few people just said, I've got a dollar. Mm. I don't have even 10 bucks to buy the music. And then some people said, hey, I've got 500 bucks that I'd love to, you know, and anything in between. So to answer your question, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It was a complete joy. It's also very humbling because when people start investing in what you do in a way that of something this magnitude, it's a big obligation to them. Mm. And you feel like you owe it to them to produce the best album that you can create. And that's a pretty cool thing, you know.
Yeah, one of the incentives you got people to pledge towards for your record was a meal with you and the band at your favorite Mexican restaurant. I believe you're a bit of a Mexican fan.
Yeah. You know, you asked me what Houston is known for. I should have said that. Of course, you know, here in Texas, we call it Tex-Mex, right? So, the Tex-Mex is pretty popular here in Houston, Texas. And so, yeah, one of the options was, hey, you know, you contribute a certain amount of money. You're going to get all the music, of course, and you're going to get t-shirts and all that kind of stuff. But then you also, if you can make it to Houston, let's go have a big feast together, at our favorite place. So yeah, that's fun, man. Again, I mean, to me, that's what's so cool about this is that more than just making a record, right? You're actually saying, hey, let's have dinner together, yeah. You know? So if you're able to, and that's, you know, 5-10 years ago, that really was not on my radar. You know what I mean? I wasn't thinking, let's go all have some, you know, some fajitas and chips, you know? It was more like, I got to make a record. Well, now we go, man, we're a community of people that are kind of striving towards the same thing. So let's do some fun stuff together if you're able, you know.
What is your favorite meal at Tex-Mex, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, well, fajitas are like the staple of Tex-Mex, you know. So fajita and the beef fajitas, specifically at this place that was a part of our Kickstarter, the beef fajitas are fantastic. So vegetarians would not fare well at this Robbie Seaband feast. All right, this would be for the carnivores listening and watching. Yeah, yeah. Are you thinking about flying over and being a part? What do you think?
Well, I guess so. It's a bit expensive to fly to Texas, but I'm very interested by this Tex-Mex place. We don't have it down under.
No, those fajitas better be good for that airline
ticket.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
and as long as you'll be there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We're actually doing a fundraiser at the moment at the station. We're trying to raise money to keep the station running. Do you have any suggestions on what I could possibly do to get people giving money?
That's a good... Well, you know, I was thinking, and maybe we'd have to come back to this. It'd have to be rehearsed, you know.
Okay.
But maybe there's a song in Texas. It's actually the Texas theme song, and it's called The Yellow Rose of Texas. And I don't expect you to know that song. If you did know that song off the top of your head, I'd be very impressed. But I would not expect you to already know that song, no. I would love to hear you sing The Yellow Rose of Texas. And for my money, if I was going to support the station, I would think, man, how great would it be for Sam to sing the theme song of Texas? What do you think?
Okay. Well, I'll have to learn it, but maybe later in the show I'll give that a go.
Yeah, I look forward to this. In fact, I'm going to be making a donation if I hear The Yellow Rose of Texas, no doubt about it.
Awesome. All right. Well, later in the show, I'll learn it during the songs and I'll give it a go.
All right.
All right. Well, we're about to hear the third track of the EP, Psalm 91, which is all about God's protection. What can you tell us about this one?
Well, Psalm 91 is the, you know, let me just say the Psalms are broken up into 5 books. And there's some intention on where the breaks fall. Psalm 91 is the beginning of book 4. And so usually the beginning of the book casts the vision for that book. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So if you open the scriptures, you can see how it's broken down. And usually the first psalm of each book tends to cast vision for what's ahead in that specific grouping of psalms. And this is the beginning of the psalm. And then we're singing the final 4 verses of Psalm 91. And what's unique about this psalm is that the psalm ends with, as if it's God's response to man's faithfulness. And so when you hear this track, you're actually hearing God's promises, to the writer, rather than the writer's response to God. And that's unique to Psalm 91 and specifically to this EP. It's unique to this EP. Because he holds fast to me
alone, I will deliver him. How did you go about choosing Psalms for this EP in particular? Were you trying to get an overall theme going?
I was not. I would like that. I would like to think that I had that much intention, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I wasn't, at least not for this volume one. We tried to choose psalms that came up naturally, mm-hmm. In study, that I felt like, hey, I'd really love to sing that. I did, I ended up using a couple of these psalms in conjunction with, some friends here in the States that, they're called the Verses Project. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's versesproject.com, but you can Google that. And what they do is kind of, more of a, on a macro level of what I've done on this EP. They have a bunch of different artists that are singing scripture. And so, I chatted with them about, hey, what if we did a few of these connected with you guys? And so through that really got my wheels turning to start putting these together as EPs. So no, I didn't, there wasn't an overall theme, at least for this one, although, as volume two is taking shape, there may be for that. And then I will say very quickly that, the Psalms, anybody who reads the Psalms knows that, there's a lot in the Psalms that is not always happy-go-lucky. Mm. You know what I mean? In fact, I'll need to check this, but I believe that close to 70 Psalms, maybe 71 of the Psalms, are lamentations. They're songs of lament. They're songs of sorrow. And they're songs of desperation. And so I do feel obligated to include a few of those on the next few EPs so that we accurately reflect what's in the Psalms, because they're not all praise Psalms, as we referenced Psalm 96 earlier as being. They're not all Psalm 96. A lot of them are filled with sorrow, you know, and filled with lament. And so I do feel obligated to have that as a part. And so as these next two volumes take shape, we'll see if there's a theme or at least a current that flows through these Psalms.
So the next two EPs on the way, have you already started to select some psalms for those?
Yeah, like I mentioned, you know, the Psalms of Ascent, 120 through 134, I think will be represented. And then like I've mentioned, there will be a few, Psalms of lamentation, of lament that, will be a part of it. And so, yeah, but what I wanted to be careful was, is to not just cherry pick what I think would be good songs. So I'm trying to just be careful about how do you put these things together in a way that's natural, mm. and hopefully that comes out of study and comes out of time spent in the Psalms. And so that's kind of where we are right now.
Psalm 42, it features Amy Norris, but I'm intrigued because there's no words in this track.
Yeah. It's one of my, I'm just really proud of how this Psalm turned out. And Amy plays with us. She's a part of the band. And I thought it might be fun to just ask her, hey, is there a psalm that has meant a lot to you, that's been a part of your journey, that you might want to write new music to and share on this record? And so I didn't select that psalm for her. She called me back and said, hey, when I was growing up, I battled some depression and some anxiety. And she said there was a lady who sent me a note, and it had much of the psalm in the letter. And of course, this is a psalm that is oftentimes called the psalm of depression or the psalm of anxiety. And I didn't realize that. The beginning of the psalm starts with what I think is pretty familiar to people, which is, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. I've heard that. I've seen that on little, you know, plaques or, you know, paintings, and that's really pretty and nice, you know. But what happens is when you get into the psalm, the psalmist begins to say, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? He's depressed, basically. And he's confessing these things in the psalm. And it's a very powerful psalm. And what I think is so beautiful about it is that for Amy, and then for anybody else who's ever experienced those kind of really dark moments in life, there was a psalmist thousands of years ago who wrote about those specific things. And so what I love about her track is that it starts off very, in a major key, it starts off very beautiful and flowing, and it does take you to a picturesque scene, I think. It's really gorgeous. And then if you notice in the middle of the song, middle of the track, it gets a little chaotic, you know, and it gets a little dark, and it's very minor chords, and and then yet it comes back to this kind of beautiful major feeling at the end. To me, that represents the psalm really well. So my hope is that when people hear this track, that they will go and read this psalm. If they've ever felt like this psalmist, that they'll find a connection there to God, and they'll find a sense of peace and comfort there. And as they hear the music, that the music takes them on the same journey that the psalm takes them on.
Robbie, what is this release schedule like for the next two EPs at this stage?
Yeah, well, both will be in the new year. And so my hope is February and May. That's my hope. And, of course, you know, it's Christmas coming up. And so we tend to not release anything that's not Christmas music, you know, around this time of year. So that kind of wipes out the next 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But hopefully in 2014, it's somewhere around February and May.
Mm.
And I do want to say we've offered this volume one for free up until a certain point. It's no longer offered that way, but it will be on iTunes in the next few days. And so I would really encourage people to go check out Psalms EP Volume 1 from Robbie C. Band on iTunes or Amazon or anywhere else they buy music. It'll be on there. And then be looking for Volume 2 and Volume 3 after the new year.
Yeah, definitely. The last psalm we're about to hear on the EP, Psalm 63, it features Lindsay Kidd. I assume that's on vocals?
That's right.
Yep. What should we listen out for as we listen to this one?
Well, this is Psalm 63. Is a really powerful psalm to me. It's a psalm of David. And if you read the subheading or the title of the psalm, depending on the translation that you're reading, it should say something to the effect of while he was in the desert or while he was in the wilderness. And most believe that he was escaping and fleeing from the deadly pursuit of Saul, who was trying to take his life. And so it's a pretty desperate moment for him. He literally most likely is in a cave somewhere. Mm. I mean, physically he's, and so, you know, you and I probably aren't going to be hanging out in caves anytime this week, but we may feel a certain sense of wilderness in our lives. And that's something that I think all of us can relate to. When we read Psalm 63, there's a sense of desperation, but also beautiful trust and longing for God. That I hope that we can also come around to, just like the psalmist, you know. And this track still, it moves me, and I hope that's not weird to say about my own music, but it moves me because of the passage, you know. And Lindsay Kidd is a great friend of mine. She has sung on my records for years, and I think her vocal really captures where the psalmist is. There's a certain sense of beauty and trust, but also vulnerability. And I think that comes across in her vocal. And I really hope people sense that when they hear this song.
Robbie, thanks so much for talking to us at the Water Cooler today. It's been really good to get the inside scoop on these songs that are so wonderfully written from Scripture. So thanks for your time. And hopefully we can talk when the next two come out and get the story behind those.
Yeah, Sam, I'd be honored. Thank you so much for highlighting the new EP. And I really want to hear you sing in the Yellow Rose of Texas, all right? You're not off the hook.
Okay, I'm going to rehearse during this next track, and then maybe after that I'll sing it.
You're on the spot.
Okay, yeah.
All right, bless you.
Thanks, Robbie. Yes, in case you're wondering, I did sing the Yellow Rose of Texas on the radio. I did... I'm not going to podcast it. You're never going to hear it again. But actually, some very generous listeners did get in contact with the station and said, hey, we'll give you $50 for your singing, which is really great. But there you go. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and we'll bring you a very exciting chat next week with Alana from Garage Hymnal, and very soon some international guests who have released Christmas albums. I'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.